Two of the big questions facing the U.S. economy right now are, one, how much longer can the U.S. consumer keep powering the expansion? And two, wither inflation, when are we going to see it take off? And will it be a positive for the U.S. economy? Joining us now, Danielle DiMartino-Booth, Chief Executive Officer and Chief Strategist for Quill Intelligence, also a former advisor to the Dallas Fed and also a Bloomberg Opinion contributor. Danielle, thank you so much for being here. Let's start there. I'm wondering, with inflation in particular, we just got the PPI data, the producer price index, yesterday, and it beat expectations, leading to some speculation we might be starting to see inflation. What do you think on that front?
And again, this is pre-coronavirus data. And I think what people don't quite understand is that the coronavirus is primarily going to be a supply shock, and that we are primarily going to see the supply input get more expensive in the coming months because the tankers are not hitting the water. So what you need to build, whatever you need to build, or whether it's apparel or footwear that you've got on hand, you can charge more for it because there's not a whole bunch of inventory behind it because the tankers are not dropping. That's what I'm hearing from my contacts inside the industry.
So when you look at the markets, again, you know, Lisa and I, we talk about it, it seems like the equity market's just not really pricing in appropriately the risk that may be building from the coronavirus. You compare that to the bond market or the commodities, which may be pricing it in a little bit more effectively. Do you share that opinion?
I don't think markets are being rational about the coronavirus, but I think that they're parsing every single data and saying, okay, look, it's the Empire State or it's the Philly Fed, and it's a really strong headline, and that was unexpected. And then they look underneath and they're like, oh, wait, that new orders to inventory spread thing that got so stretched has been resolved now. It was a gigantic inventory build. If you look out 6 months, if you're talking about employment dropping to the lowest in years in this morning's Philly Fed, if you look at inventories, future backlogs, future outlook, they're all declining. These companies were going to go out of business or they were going to restock. They've restocked. You got the nice pop in the headlines. Once the market figures it out, they're like, oh God, it wasn't good news. It was bad news. So the Fed's going to cut rates. So the market should go up.
Okay, let's square this idea of perhaps a bit of complacency in markets about the ramifications of the spread of the coronavirus, as well as just sort of the waning steam of the U.S. consumer, with this idea that you're expecting and hearing on the ground from industry professionals that they're expecting inflation to pick up, that it costs are going up as a result of the coronavirus and other factors. Is that a good thing?
Look, you can't call it a trend because it's only been 2 months now, but we have discretionary inflation. That is the cost of buying things that you absolutely have to have. The roof over your head, the health care for your kids. We've got discretionary inflation running at 3.1%. That is outpacing wage growth. It's outpacing headline CPI. And that means that families don't have extra money to spend on taking the kids to XYZ restaurant or, I don't know, Six Flags. They don't have extra money left over because their paycheck is not going as far as it was for only 2 months running now.
All right. So that kind of goes to the question that we talk about a lot, which is this economy is really being driven by the consumer. And as long as the consumer's fine, we got some good housing numbers yesterday and so on and so forth. Unemployment, you know, near all-time lows. Is there a little bit of concern there for the consumer?
There should be concern. At Quill Intelligence, the one metric that we're following the most closely, and we've been following it since October, is not seasonally adjusted continuing claims. If you look at that number, it's the raw number of U.S. employees collecting unemployment insurance. It's gone up in October year over year. It's gone up in November year over year. It's gone up in December year over year. It's gone up in January year over year. And it's up in that first week that we have of data for February. This is an established trend off of a low base, but the number of people collecting unemployment insurance is going up. That means the number of people without a paycheck at all is going up.
There's a question about whether this foretells a recession or whether the backdrop that you're explaining foretells a slowdown, an ongoing slowdown that just bleeds right into this Goldilocks narrative. The Fed will cut if they have to, and otherwise things will expand slowly enough to sustain the rally that we have seen.
I think that markets have tremendous confidence in the double easing narrative. I think that they believe that there are going to be rate cuts in 2020, probably by June, and that we're going to see continued balance sheet growth out of the Fed at the same time, and that this might be enough to combat the slowdown that we're seeing. But again, we haven't seen continuing claims year over year negative since December 2009. So this is a decided shift in the underlying narrative for the U.S. consumer that Jay Powell insists is strong. If he wants to keep that consumer strong, he's going to have to get to work, print some more money, and cut rates down to the zero bound, period, end.
Oh, boy. Zero rates in this country?
Imagine that.
Imagine that. Danielle DiMartino Booth, CEO and Director of Intelligence for Quill Intelligence, joining us here in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio.
A lot of people are saying that, Paul, 0% lower bound, and that we're going to see it in the next year or so.